Let us continue our worship with the ministry of the word. And this morning, I want to share from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 14. And the topic of my sermon will be the breath of hope, revival from the valley of bones. The breath of hope, revival from the valley of bones. Okay. Ezekiel is a very interesting book, and I feel that it's appropriate for times such as this. Okay. Let's go to the text first. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 14. Okay. 37, 1 to 14. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that are very dry. And he asked me, okay, me means Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign God, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to this bone and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into this slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign God says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Okay. So this is a very interesting passage. Okay. To put this into context, okay, this was a vision that was received by the prophet Ezekiel. Okay. So we do not know where this valley of bones is, but it was a vision in chapter 37. Okay. And to see where it is, the United Kingdom or the monarchy of Israel at that time, you have Saul, King Saul, King David, King Solomon. It lasts for three kings. And then when Solomon died, the kingdom is split into two, called the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. The Northern Kingdom has the name Israel, and the Southern Kingdom is called Judah. So just to have this, okay? So Israel and Judah. Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians, okay, in 721 BC. That means the Northern Kingdom was actually destroyed by the Assyrians. So there was no more Northern Kingdom. Only the Southern Kingdom is left. That means the southern part. Okay? And the Southern Kingdom was destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 BC. Okay, so we are talking about the Southern Kingdom now. Okay, and the Southern Kingdom, Jeremiah observed the destruction of the Southern Kingdom. Okay, and when the Babylonians came and attacked Judah, there were actually six battles, or six times they came down. Rather, four times they came down, okay? But they deported the people six times. And the earliest group was involved Daniel. And Ezekiel was actually the third or fourth group. So you see that they were exiled, okay? And that was by King Nebuchadnezzar. And it was a terrible time when they came to destroy. Six times they attacked, okay? And four times they attacked. And every time they came, they destroyed part of Judah. Until finally, they destroyed Jerusalem itself. And then they destroyed the temple. Okay, and they took away all the things of the temple back to Babylon. Okay, and the destruction was so complete that the last king of Judah, King Zechariah, okay, Nebuchadnezzar caught him and all his sons, and he executed all his sons in front of him so that he can see his sons die. And then he gouged out both his eyes so that the last thing he saw was his son dying. So that is what happened when Jerusalem was destroyed and the people were sent to Babylon. Okay. So these are not refugees. These are not immigrants. These are the stateless people. Okay. Unlike the Northern Kingdom, the Assyrians took them as slaves. But the Babylon Empire is more enlightened. They took them and they settled down in their own communities in Babylon. And as we look at the book of Ezekiel, you find that the book is actually well divided into three parts. Chapter 1 talks about the vision, the calling of Ezekiel to be a prophet. Chapter 2 talks about the call, and chapter 3 is the commission. Okay. And then chapter 4 to 24 talks about the prophecies regarding Judah and Jerusalem. Then the middle is from chapter 25 to 32. It talks about God punishing the enemies of Judah. And then the last part section is from 35 to 48. It talks about the restoration. Okay. And it's very clear that that is the punishment that God inflicts on the people of Israel and Judah because they did not follow God. God gave them many opportunities to repent and turn back to Him. Many prophets, but they do not listen to the prophets. They kill the prophets. So you can see that the result of that was the destruction of the nation, their exile. And Ezekiel saw the glory of the God leaving the temple, the Shekinah. Okay. So that's why the country fell. And that is what the situation is. And that is why we are considering this verse today, Ezekiel chapter 37. And may I suggest that if we can look at the verse, the passage, in terms of the valley of the dry bones, the question of possibility, prophesying to the bones, and when the bones come together, the breath of life and the meaning of the vision. Okay, we shall look at the passage this way. The valley of dry bones. Okay. The hand of the Lord was on me and brought me by the Spirit of God and set me in the middle of a valley. Okay, and it's all dry bones. Okay. And you know, we do not know where this valley of dry bones is, but we know that it's all dry bones and it's walking along. And what it signifies is that the Israel's despair. Okay, Israel, okay, or Judah, they are now in Jerusalem. They are the exile, they are the stateless people. Okay. Recently I went on a mission to in Malaysia to stateless people, and you'll be surprised how many stateless people are in Malaysia. Okay. Stateless people, they are stateless. Okay. They do not have a country. If you're immigrant or you are a refugee, you had a country you come from. So there is some identity. Okay? You are protected by the UN. But if you are stateless, you have no protection. Okay? The host country you are in cannot protect you. The law cannot protect you. You have no right. You cannot get a job. You cannot get your children into education or school. And you cannot go and get admitted to the hospital. And if people steal your baby, you cannot do anything about it. Okay. And this is the despair of the people. You can feel that this is the despair of the Israelites in Babylon. That they are stateless people. Not only have they lost their country, okay, because back home in Judea, the land is no longer theirs. The land is divided up among other people. Judea doesn't exist anymore. But what is worse is that the temple has been destroyed. Okay, and when the temple has been destroyed, that means God has been defeated. Okay. Before the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, they were very sure that the temple will stand, that nothing can prevail against God, because their God is the mighty God, the God Yahweh, Adonai, El. Nothing can stand. They are invincible until Babylonians came. King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple, which means that Marduk, the god of the Babylonians, is stronger than the God of the Israelites. So not only do they leave their land, or they lost their land, they also lost their God. So can you imagine the despair they feel? Okay. That is a valley of bones. Not only bones, but dry bones. Okay. Dry means totally lifeless. If there are some bone marrow left, maybe we can do something about it. Okay, maybe we can use some of the bone marrow to do stem cloning. But these are dry bones, totally lifeless. So this is the valley that Ezekiel saw. Dry bones, the whole valley, and he walked to and forth, and they are all bones. And God asked, Son of man, can these bones live? Now that's a loaded question, isn't it? And God asked you, can this bone live? Now, Ezekiel, very smart. He didn't say yes or no. He says, Lord, you alone know. Okay. Whether we can believe God or not. You know, can these bones live? Of course, by human standard, they will not, because they are dry bones. Okay. And are there situations in our life when we think that there's no hope? There's no way we can get out of this. Can this bone live? So the question of possibility. And to prophesy to the bone. Okay? That's interesting. When it says prophesize. Okay? Prophesize, there are two meanings to the word prophecy. First is foretelling. Okay? Which is telling the future. The second is forth-telling. That means we speak wisdom. So prophesy to the bone and says, see them, dry bones, hear the word of God. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. So that's a very interesting command when God says, prophesy to the bone. Okay, so that life. And it is important to note of Ezekiel's obedience as he speak as a command. Okay. Because Ezekiel obey God and prophesy to the bone, then comes the promise of revival. So to prophesy is an act of obedience. And as the bones came together, okay, we can notice that there was rattling sounds and the bones came together. And it's very interesting that the bones came first, and then the tendons, and the flesh, and the skin. Okay? As a doctor, I think that's anatomically correct order. So it is a process of reconstruction. Okay? And it's a process. That means it takes time. It could just happen instantly. Prophesy, pop, everybody stands up. But that didn't happen. Okay. Notice that in his vision, he actually sees things come together piece by piece by piece. And sometimes, you know, we can be so impatient to see God works. Okay. God work must be very fast, instantaneous. Okay, because we are so accustomed to instant coffee that we don't see God, the slow work of God. Okay. So you see that the bones come together, bones first, and then the tendons, and the flesh, and then the skin. But this coming together, you have all this, the human figure, but there's no life. So God says to him, prophesy to the breath. Okay. And we know that it's the breath is the Holy Spirit. We know that God gives life to Adam by breathing into him. So the breath of life. So that means that we need the Holy Spirit to come. And the call to the four winds. It's not that the Holy Spirit is in four areas. It's just that the Holy Spirit is all over. By calling the four winds, it's by signifying that calling in the Spirit of God to enter the bodies and to revive the person. And that is the meaning. And God actually explained the whole vision to Ezekiel. He says that this is what it means. The bones are the house of Israel, dead, dry, but they will come together and I will breathe on them and they will come back to life. Okay. They who are dead now will come back to life and I will restore them back to where they came from. That means back to the land of Canaan. Back to the land that was promised to them. Okay. So that is what Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 11 is. Okay. That the restoration of the land, the valley of dead bones. Dead bones come to life. And as this generative AI shows, taking a selfie. Okay. So this morning, I want to share 4 points that we can learn. Okay. 4 points that we can learn from this scary vision of dry bones. The first is reaffirming the message of hope that no situation is too dead for God's reviving power. I'm sure many of us have good days and bad days, good times and bad times. Okay. Do you ever find yourself in the situation where you find that nothing can recover? It's so dry. This is a dry valley, no more water. Okay. That this situation is too hopeless. That nobody can do, not even God can do that, do anything about it. Okay. Well, let me reassure you that no situation is too dead for God's reviving power. I have a friend who is a doctor. Okay, we were in we were medical students. Okay, but. He was a medical student in Singapore. I was a medical student in Malaysia. Okay, I'm trained in UKM. But I spent most of my, during my student days, I spent most of my weekend in Singapore because my girlfriend is in Singapore. Okay, now my wife. Okay. So, I get to know him very well. So when we graduated, okay, before he started working, he went to work as a missionary or join a mission organization to the refugee camp in southern Thailand. At that time, that was the time of the Vietnamese boat people, the Vietnamese refugees. Some of them go to the sea, they become the boat people. Some of them cross, go overland, and they end up in southern Thailand. And there were lots of refugee camps. So my friend went in for 6 months. Okay. And for 6 months, we don't hear anything from him. After 6 months, he came back. And he was a broken man. Because he saw things that is so terrible in the refugee camps. That he shook his faith in God himself. That he came back and he struggled and even just to believe that God exists. And we journey with him into this dry land. Okay. His soul was so dry. Okay. We prayed for him, we counseled him. But it did not help him. He became an alcoholic. And then he graduated to drugs. Okay. So we still worked with him, and for the next 10 years, he was in and out of rehab centers and getting do harder and all the hard drugs. So that was a dry period for him. Okay. So much so that we wonder, is there any hope of him recovering? Okay. There are, and all of us will face areas where we are think that there is no hope. And the second point I want to ask, want to speak, is that the challenge to speak life, encouraging us to speak into our valleys. Okay, valleys are the dry spots in our life. Most of us would not go down as my friend, but we do have valleys in our life where there are dryness, there are deserts. Okay, so the challenge is for us to speak life. Okay, we speak life by the Word of God. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God, so that we can share the wisdom and the knowledge from the Word of God to encourage one another. Okay. So that is so very important, that we will speak life to each other. And also speak life from our experience to encourage one another. Okay. When I was in primary school, I still remember in primary three, one of my teacher, Mrs. Nordin. Yeah, I've been trying to trace her, but I couldn't find her. She will always call me up in class. Okay, while he set the other children to do homework, she will bring, ask me to sit next to her and teach me to read. Okay, and I thought, oh, that's very good. Okay, and she says something that I always remember. He says, "Tak Hon." At that time, I was Tak Hon. Now I'm Alex. Okay, Tak Hon, you must work harder than other people. I'm only primary three, so. Okay, yes. I must work harder than any other people. So I thought that. So I always work harder than any people. Okay. But now looking back, what, I begin to ask the question, why is she giving me reading lessons? Why am I special? Okay. And then looking back, I realized that I only begin to start reading when I'm primary five. I'm what you call a slow learner. Then I begin to realize that I suffer from dyslexia. At that time, nobody knows what dyslexia is. Dyslexia is you cannot read. Okay, I see things in a mirror image. Okay, like the word here actually sees the mirror image, so I have to actually invert it so that I can read. So that's why I have to read hard. I have to work harder than other people. And now I begin to realize what she means, that Alex or Tak Hon, you must work harder than other people. Okay. And I really praise God for her, that she take time off to teach this primary three kid to read and write. Because now I can read. Okay. So she spoke life to me. And I can remember another time when somebody spoke life to me. And this time, I'm going for my specialist training, my specialist qualification in Edinburgh. Okay, I was a student fellow in the Royal Sick Children. And the late Dr. William Cutting, okay, he was my mentor then. He was actually a missionary doctor in Manoram, South Thailand, until he retired. Then he went back to Edinburgh and the Royal Sick Children and becomes the coordinator for overseas students. And that was a time when I went to spend 1 year in Edinburgh for my final exams to be a specialist. Okay, at that time, there were no scholarship. So I saved 5 years. Our plan is that I will save 5 years, I'll go over to Edinburgh, spend 1 year there, pass the exam, come back, save another 5 years so that Agnes, my wife, can go and sit for her exam. Because we come from a poor family, there's no family support. And I sat for the exam and I failed. And that goes all our saving, all our plans. So I went to see him and says, I'm going back. Okay. And I was devastated. Totally in the desert. Okay. And I can remember what he says to me. He says, Alex, God is not finished with you yet. Okay. God has something else for you. And that spoke life to me. And what is fascinating is that a few days later, I was offered a job as a locum consultant. Yeah, I haven't passed my specialist exam, but I was offered a job as a locum consultant in Scotland. And I worked as a locum consultant for 3 months. And I've earned enough money to stay there, to take the exam and pass, and to bring Agnes. We don't have to wait for another 5 years. But William Cutting, Dr. William Cutting, spoke life to me in my moment of despair. So we should speak life to each other, to encourage each other, and to invite to us to experience revival. We can ask for revival. We can ask for the Holy Spirit to come to revive our life. Okay, we don't have to wait for a revival rally to happen. That's why God told Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. And I think that if we can prophesy revival to each other, to ourselves. Okay. God is willing to bring, to come and revive us. Okay. You know, my friend, after 10 years, we've been praying and praying and counseling and praying. Nothing seems to work. He's at the bottom. Then one day, he came to us and he's changed. He says that, I believe in God. And we say, wow, hallelujah. Okay. He says, the Holy Spirit came to me. And I feel good. And I feel God. Revival comes by the Holy Spirit, not by our work. Okay. For 10 years, okay, we have all given up hope. But the Lord has not. And now my friend is working in Singapore as a doctor. Okay. My former special director, the late Father Green, Thomas Green, he wrote a book called Drinking from Dry Wells. Drinking from dry well. And I asked him, how do you drink from dry well? It's dry. How do you drink from that? He says, pray. Pray and pray and wait and pray until the Lord brings water into the well. Okay. So God will bring revival. God will send His Spirit when it's time. That we seek the breath of God to bring new life into our every dry areas of our life. Okay. So it's not by our effort. Okay. But God is a God who remembers. And God is a God who brings revival through His Spirit into every area of our dryness, our aridity. So there is always hope. And I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, today, that no matter how bleak you may find your situation, or how dry do you find your spiritual life, God have not forgotten us. God have not forgotten you. And He will send His Spirit. Shall we pray? Father, I just want to thank you for this reaffirming the message of hope. That no matter how dry our life is, or how dry the life of our community is, or how bleak is the situation for the country, or for the world, or for different regions of the world, you are God who cares. You are God who bring dead things to life, dry bones to living flesh. And we want to commit our life into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand for the closing.